Happy Thursday. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the email devices and all of the other ways we have to communicate with each other, because that's what the program is about, and you're always invited to be a part of that communication by giving us a call at 414-1234. If it is local, if it is long distance, you may call 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Well, what began years ago as an international hunger relief effort and continues in that vein, too, has also now migrated to the domestic front. And it's a very welcome addition to the Tallahassee area's ongoing efforts to make life a lot better for those upon whom, I guess, fortune and circumstance may not have smiled so generously. It's called A Full Summer, and we'll be talking about it this morning right here on WFSU-FM's Perspectives. And I want you to meet the folks who are involved with that, and then we can hear from you, too. So let's see, as you're looking at the radio, it would be my left, your right. And we'll say hi to Becky Liner, who is co-chair of A Full Summer and member of First Baptist Church and does a whole bunch of other things. Thanks for coming in, Becky.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Right next door to you, we have Lydia Claire Brooks, Director of Development for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And Lydia Claire, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Okay. Going back to my old school days, the principal is here. I must behave myself for sure, because Doug Cook, principal of Rickards High School, is with us. Rickards is the host for this year's full summer program. So, sir, your facility is just going to be chock full of all kinds of volunteers doing incredibly frantic packing of packages here in a little bit, right?
Yes. Good morning, Tom. And we're definitely happy to be the host this year. And thanks for asking me to be here today.
We'll find out what all that entails here in just a little bit. Right next door is Dennis Howard. He is a full summer volunteer, member of St. John's Episcopal Church, and was chair of the Strategic Planning Committee that first approved a full summer as a project, and want to get some history on that from you too, Dennis, and thanks for coming in.
I'm looking forward to the conversation. Thank you.
And we say hi to an old friend of ours, Scott Bunnell, who's CEO of Hope to the Hungry and Hope to Haiti. And you kind of kick-started this whole thing, didn't you? This is all your fault.
Yeah. We introduced it to Tallahassee in 2011. We did our first meal event at Gabby High School. Packaged 100,000 meals.
I remember that. I remember that indeed. And then moving over to St. John's and then out to Lincoln. And now we're going to Rickards. And it just – it has grown incredibly since you brought it here to the area and got up with all the different partnerships and developed this. Give us a recap first, if you could, Scott, of exactly what the program is. And then we'll trace some of that development, okay?
Well, sure. I work at an organization called the Outreach Program out of Union, Iowa. Big town of 305 people. A man named Floyd Hammer started packaging meals several years ago for his work in Tanzania, Africa. And these meals are assembly line. We'll get into all that, I guess, later. But he has sent over 300 million meals to Tanzania and around the U.S. He's a friend and mentor of mine. When I began my work in Haiti, we got talking about the meal packing. And, you know, people say to me, you know, well, you do great stuff in Haiti, but we've got starving kids in America. And I go, well, we don't. I think we got starving kids. We have a lot of hungry, you know, individuals, and we definitely have to address that problem. So I decided that we would begin these meal packing events ourselves and keep them all local, donate all the meals we have to Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And so we're about 400,000 meals, I think, since we started.
That is – and last year, how many volunteers showed up to do the packing?
220, 230, I think. We're looking for like 250 this year because we're doing 10,000 more meals.
10,000 more. Okay. So that – a grand total goal of how many?
60,000 meals we'll package in about 2 hours.
And those will go out to the various neighborhoods here in Tallahassee to help the kids who no longer will have access into the breakfast and luncheon programs through the schools, right?
That's correct. Second Harvest has the network to distribute, so we donate them to them.
Okay. Lydia Clark, how many kids are we talking about there that would be able to benefit from this program then?
Well, as Scott mentioned, we're looking to package 60,000 meals this year. In our Big Bend region, we have about 23,000 children who are what we consider to be food insecure, meaning that they don't know where their next meal is coming from. And those children do, during the school year, qualify for free or reduced cost breakfast and lunch. But in the summer, they may not have any sorts of food that they know of.
Oh, wow. Well, Dennis Howard, how did this project kind of come to your attention? You picked up on it and boom, away we went.
Yeah, so back in 2012, St. John's Episcopal Church was working through a strategic plan, a five-year plan for the church. And the plan was to address all types of programs inside and outside the church. A big part of what St. John's does is it has an outreach program. And through this strategic planning system that came out of that, a number of individuals in the church identified initiatives that they would like to support. And one of those initiatives was a full summer. And the person who was really the champion for that was Lori Messer, who's been on your program before. The way that this planning worked was that you had to have not only an individual who was willing to sponsor it, but you had to have buy-in from the church and prioritization from the church. So it was a grassroots kind of a system, but at the same time, you had to have people who were going to be dedicated to making it happen. And that's exactly what did happen. In 2013, through Lori and others at St. John's, we participated in our first full summer, and that was at St. John's, filled the hall there, and made a lot of meals, and realized that this was going to be something that we wanted to do for the long run.
I mean, but hard to keep a good thing to yourself, though, and we have First Baptist Church involved there. So, Becky Liner, tell us about that, how you guys got hooked into all this.
Well, Laurie had a contact at First Baptist, and actually our current minister, Bill Scheel, had just come to Tallahassee, just come to First Baptist when Laurie came calling, and that was in 2013. And she met with Dr. Scheel and presented the concept of a full summer. And as luck would have it, when I met Bill Scheel, I told him that I had a project I wanted us to consider, which was hunger relief for children. So when he met with Lori, he then turned around and gave me a call. And so that first year, 2013, we were not a full partner with St. John's. St. John's did the lion's share, but we became involved. And then last year in 2014, we were a full partner with St. John's and help provide half the funding as well as half of the volunteers. And then that's what we're doing again this year is half the funding and half the volunteers.
We've also, of course, got the schools involved. And Principal Cook, you are the designated point of activity here for this year. How did that fall to you, sir?
Well, Superintendent Pons and our school board members are very big on community involvement. And so I received a telephone call from Mr. Youngblood, a division director for transportation, and he asked me, would Rickards be interested in hosting? And I said, sure. Community involvement for our students, our IB students, as well as all of our students, we want them to be community involved by making sure they make a difference in their community. That's very big for all of our students to make sure that they understand that the community around them and that there are some students as well as some people in our community that need additional food, and they can make a difference. So that's how we got involved, and we're looking forward to participating and definitely having some of our students come out and assist with the meals.
This is going to be, what, in the school cafeteria?
Yes, it's going to be in the school cafeteria, and we are positive that we can definitely package all the meals that we need to package during the time that we're going to be in there, those 2 hours.
Well, I would be derelict in my duty if I didn't find out. What is the date for the grand packing?
June 6th.
June 6th.
Saturday, June 6th.
And you might think, oh, that is a long way away. It is not. It will be, honestly, before you know it. Now, is there any need for additional help? Are you guys full up for a full summer and you couldn't take any more volunteers if you needed them? What, Becky?
Oh, we would love to have volunteers from the community. St. John's and First Baptist, the folks there are great, but we have volunteers that have helped us every year. We have offices that put together teams. We've had law firms have put together teams and schools and all kinds of community organizations. And teams are of 10. If you don't want to put a group together of 10, we will place you on a team of 10. But we've had people put together their own teams, and it gets a little competitive. We have We have a competition to see how fast these teams can pack, and some of the teams even come in themed outfits, shall we say, in a team color, and they have a team cheer, and it's high energy, lots of fun, and we would love to have people from the community participate with us.
And there's music, and there's all kinds of other great stuff that's going on. It is not a reserved and a low-key kind of affair. It's pretty rocking.
It's awesome. It is not low-key. It is high energy. You will not see a frown in that room. People are happy. They're engaged with each other. It's a great place to meet your neighbors and meet new people and do something good all at the same time.
Just in case anyone's listening now and they say, boy, that sounds really cool. How can we find out more about that or get involved or whatever? What's the point of contact?
Well, they can certainly call either First Baptist Church or St. John's Episcopal Church. Just call the church office, and the offices can refer those volunteers to either Lori or myself.
Terrific. Okay. We'll remind folks of that a little bit later in the program. Let's hold off on Frank here for just a moment since we're going into a break here, but we want to invite everyone who has a question, a concern, a comment on how to make that happen right here on Perspectives, since we have a local number for you. 414-1234. That's in the greater Tallahassee metropolitan area. Or 800-926-8809 if it's long distance. And our email is perspectives@wfsu.org. If you're just joining us, we are talking about a full summer, which has been underway now for the past couple of years in our area, helping to provide sustenance over the warm weather months to kids who no longer have access to the school breakfast or lunch program because school is closed for the summer. And you're invited to get involved with that program as well because they are looking for some volunteers. So, Frank, you hang on the line and we will be right to you as Perspectives rolls on. And we're back on Perspectives on WFSU-FM. And Becky, we will get you a new set of headphones here. Well, in just a second here, Taylor will take care of that. First, let's check in with Frank, who's been patiently hanging on the line. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going wonderful. Thanks for calling.
Good, good. Listen, I just want to say thank you to the folks who are doing this program and acknowledge that it is truly a blessing here in the city that this is being done. But I also want to point out that the designation of Tallahassee as the most economically segregated city in the country and the idea of the data that was put out by the city on Monday for the Promise Zone grant says that we are really, really have a city here where there are people who are literally living in hell. And there needs to be some addressing of this issue of economic justice for a very large group of people in this area. I think it's a failure on the part of not just the government, the fact that we are the government, but it's a failure on the part of really seeking a real solution.
Well, I really appreciate the input on that, Frank. I see heads nodding all around the table here, and I think it would be a point of agreement probably that sometimes you can't wait for government to respond to a need. The community, in whatever guise that takes, be it volunteer programs, institutions such as the schools, churches, any other organizations, I'm thinking that there are a lot of opportunities for a lot of people to start getting a handle on this area of the need and then to grow that as we go. And in case folks here at the table, you hadn't heard about that, there was a survey that came out very recently that showed that when it came to discrepancies in income, the gulf between low income and higher income, that Tallahassee probably tops the charts as far as that gap is concerned. So we have a long way to go. And let's get some input here from since Scott, I mean, you, as bad as Tallahassee is, it probably can't compare too much to Port-au-Prince.
No, not hardly. I ever said Haiti, been going on for 8 years now. So 3 years before the earthquake, we were already there. And our mandate is to feed children. So we currently feed about 4,000 kids a day through networks of schools over there and also do clean water. And we've done some housing the last couple of years with a foundation. To address the caller, I mean, there are so many different issues that, again, the government can't address or not address. But as citizens, hunger just kind of became my thing. And let me back all this up. I shared this story last year. 9/11 hit. The planes hit the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. The plane crashed. I remember that night sitting around my fireplace with my children trying to speak words of comfort but not knowing what was next. You know, was there more terrorists, more sleeper cells? And so I just began praying. I said, God, if you'd have me go to the Middle East, put my arms around some Muslims and say, I'm your brother, I'm not your enemy, I'll go. 6 months later, I'm part of a relief team, medical team in northern Afghanistan. So we were there for a month, lived with our translators, just, you know, really embedded ourselves with the people. 3 weeks in, we're at clinic one day, and we got some downtime. And so I'm sitting there with this Muslim man across from me, with my translators afar. And I'm from South Georgia, from Albany, little boy over here in Afghanistan, things are going to change the world, you know. And so I said to I said to this man through my translator, tell me about your life. I mean, you married, you have kids, you have a job, you know, how is life where you're from? He said, in my village, we're eating grass, we're waiting to die. And I had no response to that except tears. Just put my arm on this man, he just you know, put my arm on his shoulder. And I remember just beginning to cry. And everything in my world flipped that day. When I came back to Tallahassee, I got involved with the Coalition for the Homeless, the Food Bank. I mean, I want to see where can I help locally, because we're doing all this great stuff internationally, but we need to have a local effort as well. And Floyd Hammer came into my life, and he's been doing the meal packing events. And I said, that's something we can do in our community, because I know, again, there's hunger at home. So I get the comments about, you know, well, Haiti. Well, we have issues here in the U.S. that together, as demonstrated around this table, we can address, and you know, we can make a difference. I tell my kids, and every time I have an opportunity to speak publicly, if everybody just did a little something for someone else, we'd live in a different world. Just a little something. These meals are 25 cents a piece. In the past, we asked people to donate $50 and 2 hours of their time. $50 provides 200 meals. So if you give me $50 and 2 hours, you can make a difference in a child's life. And so we've had success in that.
And considering that there are restaurants even here in town where $50 won't even get you, you know, a decent steak dinner.
Right. We feed kids in Haiti for 10 cents a day. I mean, so it's, you can just look at the disparity there. I mean, it's 15 less cents for what we can do in Haiti. But it's rice and beans. It's sustenance. It's to keep children alive, because we know it's difficult. As a principal would say, hungry kids struggle to learn.
Yes, they do.
I mean, I'm sure you could probably see that without the assistance the schools have, the school board and Second Harvest. I mean, you got to give the kids a fighting chance.
Yes. I mean, students can't learn if they don't have an opportunity to have the proper nutrition. And so it's very important for us to make sure that the students have proper nutrition and to make sure that they have an opportunity to be successful. You have to get involved. You have to speak out. As the caller mentioned, we received this report. What are we going to do about it?
Right.
Are we going to get out there? Are we going to challenge our leaders to look at this document and make a difference? Because sometimes I think we lose our concept in reference to we the people. And sometimes I think we lose our perspective that we can make a difference if we get out there and we do things. We can't sit on the sideline and expect, you know, the government or other people to do things, but we need to get involved one person at a time and help someone else And if we do that, we can make a difference in our community.
And when you think of the size of the faith communities here, in not just this city, but in any city, you have all of this incredible energy and skill sets and abilities to do something. I'm sure, Dennis Howard, that's what you were thinking in terms of St. John's and you, Becky Liner, for First Baptist, is we have all of these people and all of these resources. Let's bring it to bear on this problem, right?
Yes. As the caller was speaking, I was thinking that really the first step in making a change is being aware of the problem. To be honest with you, I was not aware of that problem until he called. And I'm sure that quite a few people in Tallahassee were not aware of the disparity that the study speaks to. So now there's some information out there. Now there's an opportunity for places like our churches, for other organizations to work together, to work with government, and to make a change. As a Christian, we're called to help those who are have a hard time in life. We're not here just to, you know, go to church and worship. We're supposed to be out there on the streets making a difference in the lives of people, mm-hmm. and in the same time making a difference in our lives by doing that. So it's totally consistent with the teachings of our church to be involved with these kinds of problems and solving them.
Yeah, I'm thinking of all the biblical admonitions that are out there, Becky, that speak directly to this, that everyone in the faith community says, oh, yeah, we believe in this. And now here's a chance to say, okay, now what are you going to do about it?
Absolutely. You know, Dennis was so eloquent in his words about why we feel it's important to do what we do. I mean, we do have lots of admonitions to do that. I mean, you know, Christ told us that even as you do this unto the least of these, you do this for me. And one of my favorite scripture verses is, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And we believe that you have to meet people's physical needs before you can meet anyone's spiritual needs. If they're hungry, if they're hurting, we need to meet those needs first. And I think we are all very blessed to live in a community like Tallahassee who has a heart. And there are dozens of organizations, not just church organizations, but all kinds of community organizations in the Tallahassee area who reach out to people. We live in a very loving and giving community. And I'm very proud to be a part of that community. So, you know, I want to encourage the caller to have hope. I think there are a lot of people out there that are working on that problem.
All right. It's, I think, Gary, let's go to line one. Gary had a follow-up call, I believe, to Frank's comments. Hi, Gary.
Gary, I want to follow up on Frank's call, first of all, by thanking this group. I think they're showing incredible leadership in the community and setting such a great example of going right there where the needs are. And so thank you all very, very much. This is just a wonderful example. They had that meeting the other evening about the South Side community, but this is the kind of example that should be inspirational to get the community working to show leadership like you all are showing leadership. I'd like to also, though, follow up on Frank's comment about the economic inequality in the community, and to ask the members of the group, you know, in most communities, the Chamber of Commerce considers itself to be a sort of a gray government, government itself, a leadership itself, under the theory that we should be able to do many, many things for ourselves as opposed to the government, you know, doing those things for us. And the South Side is an example. One example is the fact that South Monroe Street, although it is adjacent to a magnificent state university, Florida A&M University, contains no major restaurant chains. Every other segment of the city, North Monroe, Appalachia, Tennessee, but for some reason, the major restaurant chains have chosen not to put one of their restaurants on South Monroe. And this is the kind of thing that the Chamber of Commerce is in business for, is to see that those opportunities are all over the city. So I would like to pose the question to the group as far as whether or not they're getting help and leadership support from the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, that's a good question. I wish Ms. Sue Dick was here with us from the chamber, and we'd ask her that directly. But is there any connection with the chamber folks, Principal Cook?
Well, the chamber, you know, actually helped, you know, Senator Mumford several years ago, and helped Superintendent Pons recently in reference to pass the half-cent sales tax, and that has allowed the schools, all the schools, to be the same in reference to the 21st century classrooms. You know, that means smart boards, document cameras, things of that nature. So I have seen the impact of the chamber by getting involved to help the school system. I will defer to my colleagues to talk about other community things that the chamber has been involved in. But I know the school system, they did help Senator Mumford as well as Superintendent Pons, you know, with the half-cent sales tax, which is tremendous in our district to keep our schools from eroding and to continue to improve our schools and make sure our students have a fighting chance in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the IB program is centered on the South Side at Rickards High School.
And it is definitely thriving. We have some outstanding students. We actually have three students currently enrolled at Stanford University. We have a few at MIT, Yale, as well as Princeton. We have kids all over the world that are enrolled in some of the most outstanding higher education institution in this world. So that is very important to continue to support the IB program. But the chamber has supported all of the initiative in reference to that half-cent sales tax, which has afforded us an opportunity to continue to make sure our schools are successful.
But are there other opportunities, do you think, folks, getting back to what Gary and Frank had said, of bringing in some additional, not just volunteers for the food packing, but some other partners into this particular effort? Scott, you're
absolutely. I mean, anybody, everybody. You know, I didn't. When I decided we were going to do this in Tallahassee and bring this from the Hammers, I didn't think about what government organization or the chamber, who I should contact. I started telling my friends. Said, you know, here's the need. Got involved with the food bank and started learning about poverty in our area. Started telling my friends and through email blasts and, you know, TV and radio, started sharing the story. And our first event ever, we did 100,000 meals. We had over 500 volunteers. And I needed a Becky back then for sure to help us do that. But we are welcome to any organization, any faith organization, any civic organization, financing from anybody. You know, it's our work in Haiti 8 years ago. I started feeding 20 kids. That's what I could do. Came back, started telling the story, showing the pictures, you know, working the media, newsletters, and we feed 4,000 a day now in Haiti. Children we're keeping alive in Haiti. And I never once thought of, let me see what agency would fund this for me. You know, and it's you'll find in the churches and your schools, it's most, and even at the food bank, it's normally the most impoverished people that are the most generous. Mm-hmm. And it's a scripture. Jesus says, tell the rich in this world to be generous, because you don't have to tell a poor person to be generous. They are generous. They shower me with gifts and love when I'm in Haiti. And that's stuff that we would, you know, care much for here. But they see that we're all in this together. They see that you know, we're there to help. And I have no agenda except just to help. And so we want to share that story and, you know, and broaden the story. There's no reason why we couldn't do this once a month, twice a year.
Why not?
Well, we just need people to play. So we can do it. We've done million meal events before. We've used civic centers in half a day, and we packed over a million meals.
By the way, where does the food come from?
We get it from Iowa. We buy bulk grain wholesale. So our distributors in Union City, Iowa, getting the Hammers. But local farmers. He has that network. I don't. I say we need 60,000. Here comes a truckload full of pallets of rice and beans and vitamin packs and soy and all the ingredients that we need. We basically just roll it out. You know, it's a plug and play event. All we need from the high school is just the place to do it and some volunteers to help us set up. And then people just come in. We train them. You get in your lines. You package food. You sing. You dance. You know, we laugh. You cheer. 2 hours passes, you turn around, there's 60,000 meals on the wall stacked behind you that you know are going to go to service kids in our community. What a rewarding event. There's no one asking for a day. We're asking for 2 hours. It only spent an hour and a half to do it all. So we are more than welcome to anybody, everybody that wants to get involved. Scott at hope2haiti.com if you want to look for me personally.
There we go. And we've been leaving you out of the conversation here, Lydia Claire. I'm so sorry, but I think there's a phone call for you here, which we will get to right after we take our next break here on Perspectives. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a full summer, meaning a full summer of providing food for low-income families here in the greater Tallahassee area because the schools are closed, and that means no subsidized breakfast and lunch program for the kids. And we don't need hungry kids roaming the streets during the warm weather months for sure. Joining us here, Becky Liner with First Baptist Church and Doug Cook, who's principal of Rickards High School, Lydia Claire Brooks of Second Harvest of the Big Bend, Scott Bunnell, CEO of Hope to the Hungry and Hope to Haiti, and Dennis Howard from St. John's Episcopal Church, which was the first faith community to get involved in the effort back just a couple years ago, and it has grown ever since. George, you hang on the line. I know you have been very patient, and we appreciate that. You'll be first in line when we reopen Perspectives in just a moment. You know, we're just thinking this morning, it is so easy to get involved in, I'm just going to run to the fridge here. Let's see what we got. Rummage. And you pull out something, some leftovers from last night or something fresh. You make a sandwich or whatever it is. And you don't think anything of it. But there are so many families where you have to think something about it because you just don't have anything readily available, particularly when the kids are hungry. They've been running around during the summer months and there has been no breakfast and there has been no lunch because school's not in session. And what do you do? And that's what we're talking about here with A Full Summer, the program that is helping to fill that need. George, thank you so much for your patience. Welcome to Perspectives. Good to have you.
Before I get to my question, I just wanted to let you know I haven't gotten the book yet from the show on the Tech Expo.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Well, those guys are meeting today. Let me get back up with them, George. Thank you for letting me know about that, okay? I will get that because that should be right out. Yeah, I'll track it down for you.
I hope I'm not out of line, Lydia, in asking you the question because, with your Second Harvest Food Bank, I know Father Rob and some of the folks over at Holy Mother of God Greek Orthodox Church, which I attend, work out there, and I know that you had to suspend for a time distribution of food. What is the situation over there, and when can we expect it to get back to where it needs to be?
Well, thank you, George, for that question. We have been continuing distribution in a slightly modified fashion. We are picking up directly from our donors and directly dropping with a number of our partner agencies. We are working with our parent organization, Feeding America, to be up and fully functioning again as soon as we possibly can. As I'm sure you can imagine, like many nonprofits, we operate on a very thin margin. So when something like this comes up, it takes us a little bit of time to be able to solve the problem. But we believe we're close to a solution, and we'll be announcing that shortly.
But I guess the main message or the takeaway from all this, Lydia Claire, is that Second Harvest of the Big Bend is functioning. The distribution continues. Do not wail for me. Argentina will be back up and at full speed ahead soon.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and more on that to come. And George, we'll follow up on that book. I'll get up with you after the show, Lydell. We'll get that all taken care of here. So let's walk us through what happens here when we get to the big day, which is going to be coming up on June 6th at Rickards High School in the cafeteria. Hundreds of volunteers and thousands of pounds of food show up, and then what? What goes on?
Well, I'm getting a look from Scott, I guess. It means he wants me to
talk too much.
That.
That's my problem. I talk too much.
So, well, first of all, just a couple of things. As we mentioned earlier, we're still seeking volunteers. And if you are interested in volunteering with us, there is a website, www.afullsummer.org. And there's also info at afullsummer.org. And both of those, you can get additional information. You can volunteer. You can donate. And, you know, I guess I do want to hit on the fact that we cannot do this without donations. We have to have the donations in order to buy the food supplies. And as Scott mentioned earlier, a meal, we can pack a meal for 50 cents. I don't know very many people that can feed a family of four. I'm sorry, 25 cents. Sorry, Scott.
Okay.
25 cents.
An even better deal.
An exactly. even better deal.
Two for one.
I cannot feed my family for 25 cents. I know that.
You
I
can't get a pack of gum for 25 cents. Come
no,
on.
No. So we are appealing to the community for additional donations. We're trying to raise $15,000. And for $15,000, we can pack 60,000 meals. So, again, they can go to the website to donate, and we've got – you can contact either one of the churches, and then you can also call 850-893-0602. So there's a number of ways you can contact us to volunteer or to donate. But to answer your question, Tom, the day of the event, if you've signed up to volunteer with us, you're going to show up at Rickards. You're going to be greeted by a number of bright, shining faces of Mr. Cook's students who are going to be there to welcome and direct you on where to park and where to go into the cafeteria. We'll get you registered, get a name tag, get an apron, and get you either on the team that you've been assigned to or connected with the team that you have put together. You'll work in a team of 10. And it's an assembly line process. So, Tom, you might be measuring the rice. I might be measuring out the beans. Lydia Claire might be measuring out the dried vegetables. And there's 10 of us at a table. At the end of the line, they heat seal the package and put it in a box. And there's a certain number of meal packages that go in a carton. And when a carton is complete, a big cheer goes up from that team, and our wonderful DJ that works with us every year makes sure to announce to the rest of the people assembled there that that team is now ahead of your team, which tends to then invigorate the other teams. And it is, as you know, we've said before, it is high energy. There's lots of smiling. There's lots of happiness. And the other thing I would want to add is a great family activity. We do ask that your children be at least 8 years old. You know, below that, it might be a little – it might not be the best situation for them, a little chaotic. But children 8 and up are welcome. We love for families to come do this together and for the children to realize that they're making a difference in somebody's life right here in their own community. It may be somebody they go to school with.
Well, Becky Liner, you mentioned the competitive aspect of that. So Principal Cook, the Raiders throwing out a challenge here to the Lions and the Cougars and all the others to come over and to try to strut their stuff during this too, or –
we have a principal meeting tomorrow. I think I initiate that challenge and ask them to come out and participate and definitely make sure that we have some pride and see how many students will show up. And I'm sure the Raiders are going to show up in force.
I bet they will. But you got the home field advantage here. I don't know.
Yeah, we got the home field, but you know what? Lincoln is around the corner. Leon, Godby, now Charles, that's kind of a stretch coming from North Monroe, I mean, wow, that's out there. So, but I'm sure that Principal Burgess, he will be willing to send some of his students to make sure that he show up in force.
I would suspect that you're right about that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the learning potential of this, though. Getting back to what Gary and Frank had said before, the getting students involved in the community in such a tangible way. This is not theoretical. This is not textbook stuff. This is kind of really down and dirty, and this is where the rubber meets the road for helping folks.
Well, I think we all of us that are here today know that the colleges, when you send your transcript, that's important, but they want to know your community involvement. And so getting involved with a definitely a great cause such as the one that we're going to definitely execute on June 6th is truly outstanding when you place that on your resume, you place that on your college application. Community service is big by the university, University of Florida, Florida State. They all look for that community involvement. They want to know, what did you do outside of the academic arena? They want to know, do you get involved? Because they want well-rounded students. So that's the learning experience that we know, and that's one of our components of our IB program. They have to have so many community service hours. So I know that our juniors are definitely going to be involved in reference to the community hours, because that's a great way and a great cause.
Looking at this, Scott, I'm just thinking in terms of using this as a template for certainly this need, and maybe going twice a year or four times a year.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be great? Quarterly. Absolutely.
We can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it. And we will provide a form for any students for volunteer hours. We'll provide them the form so they can send it, you know, for the Bright Futures or for their school, whatever they need. We will handle all that for them as well. So it does count as community service hours.
Yeah, but you use this type of response to other community needs. I'm thinking,
absolutely.
Okay, we have hungry people. Fine. This works. Where the rest of the community gets together and says, how do we solve the problem? We can do this in a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Couple hundred people and boom. If you apply the same kind of full court press to other community-based problems, whether it's redevelopment of the South Side or attracting more jobs, not just the super high-tech Uber jobs that maybe a lot of folks would not qualify for, would this not also work there as well?
Absolutely. It's always been grassroots, right?
Yeah.
It's always been the one or two that said that seen a problem and go – and this is my story in Haiti. I went to Haiti and saw starvation again, like I saw in Afghanistan several years earlier. And I'm like, somebody needs to do something. And I said, what can I do? What can I do? I can feed 15 kids. I can do that. I work my budget around, I'll feed 15 kids. Hope Haiti was birthed from that. Same with these meal packing events. Florida's been doing these for 12 or 13 years. He was awarded the 5,000th point of light from George H. Bush for his community service. You know, on his inauguration, he spoke of community and volunteerism. Well, Floyd Hammer got the 5,000th Point of Light Award from President Obama and Bush 41 last year for his service. And he was just a guy, the same thing. So there's hunger. Let's do something. And I don't know why it took me a year to kick in. We can do this in Tallahassee. So I called Floyd. I said, I want to do this. He goes, just tell me when. How many meals and when we'll make it happen. And it was birthed from there. And again, I'm excited. I know every year one event's going to happen because of St. John's and First Baptist involvement in that. But you know, it's not a faith thing. It's not a school thing. It's not a where you live in the community. It's just, let's just all come together and let's try to make a difference. And you will see after an hour and a half of singing and dancing and laughing with your – because the event is – you turn your mind off. You're dumping cups of different ingredients into a bag that somebody's holding that's in measured and weighed and boxed up. But it's not a lot of mind effort goes into that. It's after a while, it's an assembly line. You just kind of lose track of time and you're singing and dancing and we're all cheering. Again, then it's over and you turn around. There's 60,000 meals behind you. And you went, we did that. I did that. I had a part of that. And that's why it's come up. Let's do it again. And I'm saying, let's do it. Do it, do it.
Well, who says Tallahassee has no manufacturing base? Come on.
Yeah. And Tom, I will say our best volunteers are repeat customers. They do it with us. They participate with us one time, and then they start asking, when can I sign up again? When can I sign up again? They want to do it again. If you do it once, I promise you, you will want to do it again. It is one of the – it's a feel-good project. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And as Scott said, at the end of an hour and a half, you look around and go, I made a difference in the life of some child today. And, you know, as Lydia Clare told us earlier, there are 23,000 food insecure children in the Big Bend area. And I think our fondest dream, all of us around this table, our fondest dream would be able to do a full summer multiple times a year and try to address the needs of those 23,000 children.
Yeah, it seems odd the way that we're designed, but we tend to get hungry once a day at least. So once a year just doesn't probably – cut it on that. Folks, to go around the table here, some final thoughts. We could talk about this for at least another hour, but we want to make sure we have ample opportunity to again get out the information about how to contact and get involved and all of that kind of thing. So let's start with you, Becky Liner. Any final thoughts here as we go around the table here? Take a couple of minutes and just talk about particularly what does this mean to you since you've been involved?
Oh, my gosh. I may get choked up talking about it, Tom. It means so much to me. As a mom, I cannot imagine the agony of a parent who looks at a child and they can't feed that child. And, you know, to think that in my community, that I was born and raised here in Tallahassee, I had no idea until I became involved in this that there were this many children in our community that went hungry. And, you know, as I said before, this is a good community of good people and generous people. And to just see how we've started with this, and so many thank yous to the people around this table who were involved in getting this initiated, to know that we've impacted the lives of that many children, it's just so rewarding. It's fulfilling. But I just have this burning desire to do more. We can do so much more. We can help so many more kids in our community. And if you're listening out there, I would just say, come try it. Come do it with us on June 6th. I promise you will want to do it again. If you can't join us on June 6th, we would love to have a donation from you to buy those supplies we need for those 60,000 meals. Again, if you'll just look at afullsummer.org, and it'll tell you all you need to know about getting involved. And I just want to thank you for allowing us this opportunity today.
Well, thank you. $10, 40 meals. I mean, come
yep.
on.
Yep.
That is incredible. And Lydia Claire Brooks, you live this every day at Second Harvest of the Big Bend. So this has to be an inspiring kind of situation for you because you struggle with this all the time.
It is really wonderful to see the community coming together for an event like this. So I just want to encourage everybody, take those 2 hours on June 6th, make a donation, do both, and then keep an eye out all summer long for our Food on the Move school bus. And that'll be where you see those meals being distributed to those children in need. So that'll kind of put a nice little period on that sentence just to keep an eye out that summer, all summer for our bus. And I encourage y'all to come out on June 6th.
When I was growing up in my little neighborhood, I kept waiting for that magical bell to ring because there was the ice cream truck that was coming.
Right.
And I keep thinking, this is what the Second Harvest delivery bus is going to be like.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And Principal Cook, again, just so many props to Rickards and all you folks for doing this. And this is just a continuation, though, as you were saying before we even went on the air, all of the involvement that your student body has with trying to make a difference, too.
Yes. Just getting the students involved. As a principal, you want your students to – you want them to excel, but you want them to think about – the person next to them. And so this provides us an opportunity to host. It also provides our students an opportunity to come out and view this magnificent operation. And they will be able to take from this event some lifelong stories to share. And who knows who we're going to inspire to try to do this more than one time during the year. We can do it multiple times because the key is that we have the future generation in front of us. And we want to make sure that we inspire them. And if we are good role models, then that will give them an opportunity to seek, and that will give them an opportunity to want to achieve and want to help someone. And that's what you want your students to be mindful about, helping others.
Yeah, and in turn, we can be inspired by them, too. So it's funny how that works out,
too. That is
too.
So true.
And Dennis Howard, from the initial contact here with Scott and getting St. John's involved with this, this has really turned into something absolutely huge.
Yeah, I was thinking that it's really gratifying to see how a vision, one individual's vision, which was fed into by world experiences like Scott's had, how that can become infectious and can be taken up by individuals who feel a passion for it. And so often in our times, people say, you know, this is just such a big problem. I can't, what can I do about it? It's beyond me. But here is something where you can be directly involved. You can provide a donation, or you can be in the room and making the meals. And when you're standing next to somebody who you don't know, maybe a black person, maybe a young child, maybe a grandmother, you don't know them, you see the joy and the energy of working together on a good purpose. I would just say, come on out and see, get some of that.
And Scott Pinnell, you don't even have to talk because you brought this to fruition. We thank you for everything that you've done to make that happen with a full summer. That is afullsummer.org, by the way, or check in with First Baptist Church or St. John's Episcopal Church here in Tallahassee. We will see you on the 6th, and thank you all for coming in. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell doing all the button pushing and such today, and I'm Tom Blandy. And next Thursday, more expert opinion and your input, too, right here on Perspectives. Have a good day.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.